Hey everybody, welcome to episode 135 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by blizzpro.com. Today is December 6th, 2017, and from New Hampshire, I'm Danny Donuts, and with me today is Ray.
Also from New Hampshire.
Yeah, this is the New Hampshire podcast now.
Yeah, this is the Granite State podcast. John and JR not here today, unfortunately. I think John is busy getting married, just, you know, normal stuff. And JR is, I believe he's sick, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we get to go over some fun cards. We get to bring that to you guys today. So we're really excited to do this.
Yeah, I am extremely excited to talk about the new cards. I would have been very sad if we did not get a podcast out this week. But luckily, we were able to pull it together last minute, and hopefully this is going to be a good show. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about last week's predictions for the third Mage Secret.
The Rogue Secret.
Oh my god, the Rogue Secret. I predicted that it was going to be a preparation-based secret. JR and John predicted something probably irrelevant, doesn't matter. They're not here, so we can just talk. We can make them say whatever we want.
Yeah. But I did call it, so we can just talk about the Rogue Secret Evasion. It's 2 mana. After your hero takes damage, become immune this turn. So this is actually a really interesting card.
Yeah, I'm excited that you got it right. Like, I don't actually know if this card is going to be playable or not, because making your hero stealth after an attack means that your opponent can just one-shot you. They can just stack up a minion and just kill you. So that it doesn't have that same inevitability as the ice block does. But against aggro decks, it'll bide you a lot of time. You'll get hit for, what, like 2 to 4 or 5 damage, and then you'll be safe for the rest of the turn. It's definitely good, and it's really interesting, but the fact that you called it is what makes the card most exciting to me.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And, I mean, I think that you can pull it off if you're going for, like, a slow rogue-style deck. I think that you're probably going to want to be able to buy yourself some time. The ability for it to not proc automatically, though, is definitely an issue. Especially in, like, Wild, where we're going to start seeing Mad Scientist be played. Like, you don't want to play this with Mad Scientist, because if this gets pulled out, like, turn 2 or turn 3 when you play a tempo Mad Scientist, like, your opponent Mage will ping you in the face for 1 damage and your secret is completely useless. So, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm thinking about running a secret deck without Mad Scientist in Wild.
Whoa. That just sounds silly to me.
I know, right?
I don't know, man. I'm playing a different secret deck. If I'm playing Mad Scientist, I can't have that card in the format and not play it, but also play secrets in my deck. It just, like,
yeah,
my brain would explode. I think
it is pretty crazy. And I mean, Mad Scientist is going to make some of the other some of the Mage stuff that came out completely broken. But I don't know. I'm not sure if the other 2 secrets are good enough to warrant running Mad Scientist, but if I'm running an Evasion in a deck, I'm just not including that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see a place for it in Standard, to be honest. It seems just too awkward for me. And maybe there is some type of control rogue that utilizes the secret, but that's something you really gotta test. But anyways, you talked about the Mage shenanigans that are going to be going on in Wild, and that kind of segues pretty well into the card I wanted to talk about next, which is Leyline Manipulator. It is a 4-mana 4/5 that is a battle cry that just reduces cards that didn't start in your deck, spells that didn't start in your deck or whatever, by 2. So,
yeah, that's,
it's pretty insane.
That's a really cool card. It definitely has the potential to get a ton of value, because you're a mage and you're generating random stuff all the time. I mean, there's also the combo that you have in Standard now, where you can play Exodia Mage without playing the quest, whereas you can copy a Sorcerer's Apprentice with Simulacrum, get two of those and then play Leyline Manipulator on them, and you get to cost them for zero. So you don't have to rely on getting a bunch of random spells. So that's convenient. So you can use it in a combo format. You can use it in a value format. It's just an all-around good card. I'm not sure if it stacks up against the current Exodia Mage in Wild with Emperor Thorison, because that's a lot more consistent to get those cards off, but it's definitely something worth trying.
Yeah, and something I actually completely forgot to mention as well was that it's an elemental. So Mage is getting a lot of good elemental support on top of what they got last set in the form of Jaina. So this Leyline Manipulator, if it's not used necessarily for the Battlecry in the Body alone, it's also an elemental, so it could just slot right into an elemental deck with the chance to get a Battlecry off, but even then, a Yeti that's an elemental is good on its own.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, in any Mage deck, you're running Primordial Glyph because it's one of the best cards in Mage, so you already have those discounted by two, and then like you get them discounted another two, which is crazy.
Yeah, and you're probably playing Babbling Book too, just because it's one of those cards that can slot in really easily. It's still a minion on the board. I mean, sometimes you're even playing Cabala's Tome. Even if you're not, though, like you said, the Primordial Glyph is being played already, so that alone could be good enough for Leyline Manipulator to take that 4-drop slot in the Mage, just for the potential of that and the fact that it's a 4-5 Yeti. I think the other spot for an elemental deck is either Water Elemental or the 5-4, which I think it's just Water Elemental. That card pretty much outclasses everything in the 4-drop slot for Mage, but Leyline Manipulator, its stats are on par with Water Elemental. It's +1 attack more, -1 health more. Obviously, it doesn't freeze, but the Battlecry getting value some of the time means that it's probably just equal to or potentially better in an elemental deck.
Yeah, and if you're playing an elemental deck, you're probably playing Jaina, and being able to heal up 4 with the card is pretty crazy as well.
Yeah, it's really good, but now let's move on to the next cards, and this is kind of a package of cards that I wanted to talk about. It's going to be the Demon package that we saw revealed in Week 2, and that includes Skull of Minari, which is the legendary weapon that says that at the end of your turn, or is that the end of your turn or beginning of
it's
your turn?
It's at the start of your turn. It's at the start.
Or at the start of your turn, you summon a demon from your hand. It's a 5-mana, 0/3 weapon. I mean, I think this card's just pretty bad. I think it's way too slow.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Playability-wise, I'm not super excited about it. But the effect is pretty... The reason because of that is it gives your opponent a turn to ooze it. If it was at the end of your turn, it would be significantly better. But, the ability is pretty good with some of the demons that we have. Void Lord. We talked about that last week. The 9-mana 3/9 taunt, and then it spawns the 3... what is it? The 3 taunt demons as well. So getting something like that, the value that you can get out of pulling a demon from your hand is pretty good, but the issue that you run into is weapon removal, because your opponent has an entire turn to just deal with it. And if you just spend 5 mana doing nothing on a turn, it's not particularly good.
Even if weapon removal isn't necessarily amazing in the next metagame for whatever reason, I think that even in that scenario, the card still feels awkward because of how many smaller minions you're going to be playing in those decks. Vulgar Homunculus is insane. And any demon, pretty much any Warlock deck, it's the 2/4 Battlecry, deal 2 damage to your hero demon. And if you get cards like that, or just other low-value demons, it feels so awkward. And I don't know, maybe that won't be the case and you'll just hit big demons more often than not, but...
And even if you hit the big demons, like we saw in the reveal stream, an Abyssal Enforcer getting pulled from the deck when the effect was needed the next turn, when you needed to, because you play 5 mana, your opponent floods the board, you don't really contest much, and then you normally want to go follow that up with some sort of board clear, and if they pull your Abyssal Enforcer, one of the ways that you could clear the board is typically gone, so that's not super good.
Yeah, and just looking at, like, all the options that you have for these demon decks, just finding a spot is going to be hard, because there's so many cards I want to play already. One that's not immediately just very strong is not exciting to me, because there's so many good cards for that deck now.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
It's hard to validate running the Skull of Minari. But speaking about other good demon cards, Hooked Reaver, in my opinion, is going to be insane. And Hooked Reaver is a 4/4 demon for, I believe, 4 mana.
Yep.
That if you have 15 or less life, you gain +3/+3 and taunt. It's a battle cry. So
this is Warlock's 4 mana 7/7.
And it's a taunt, and it's a demon.
Yeah, this, I mean, like,
there's no way you're not playing this.
Yeah, especially in, like, a controlling style Warlock, like in, like, Handlock or something. Like, playing a 4 mana 7/7 with taunt is crazy. And normally your health will, if you're playing Handlock, like, the health management that you have before, like, you used to be able to go in Molten Giant. Well, this is similar on power level. Not exactly the same power level as Molten Giant, but it's around there as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nuts. And the other thing to note about this card is it's a 4 mana 4/4 if you get it pulled from your hand too, so that's what I mean. Like, you're going to be playing these types of demons that are just insane on their own, but if they get pulled, they're just very mediocre. And that's just another... I know I'm kind of berating the Skull of Minari a little bit too hard, but every time I see demons that aren't just the huge ones, it just makes me sad.
Yeah.
And the other demon that got revealed that is really interesting to me is Void Ripper, which is a neutral demon. I think this is the second neutral demon that has been printed, Illidan being the first. I feel like most people have been forgetting about your boy, Illidan, because, I mean, I don't really think he's ever seen play outside of getting pulled from
random effects.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing him being played, but... Void Ripper is the second neutral demon printed, and it says, Battlecry, swap the attack and health of all other minions. It's a 3 mana 3/3. I think this card is really cool. I like it a lot, and I think it's going to be good.
I think it's pretty neat as well. There's a lot of spots that it can automatically go into, like, in decks that would normally be running Crazed Alchemist as a tech card. Something like Token Druid, where you will use Crazed Alchemist to get rid of a Doomsayer, or to flip your Crypt Lord. Like, Void Ripper does both of those at the same time, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it just seems like a good card to me. Even if the demon text on it is irrelevant, the fact that it's a confuse on a stick, that's so appealing to me. I don't know why. I think it's because Doomsayer was so popular in the last metagame, and the one before that, that having the option to have a 3 mana answer to Doomsayer while also potentially just blowing out the board feels strong to me.
Yeah, definitely. And then we always know that Blizzard does things like Menagerie Warden, where you draw a Murloc, a dragon, and a beast, and maybe they do something crazy next expansion with demons, mechs, and something else, and pirates. So having a tag's not completely worthless, even if it doesn't necessarily synergize immediately into any demon deck.
Yeah, I mean, I could still see it synergizing somehow with that demon tag. I'm not sure how yet. You kind of have to get your hands on it. But as a standalone card, having a confuse on a stick or a neutral confuse just seems like a thing that could be playable at some point, or just a good tech card.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And the next cards that I want to talk about here, or we want to talk about, I keep saying I want to talk about, but... We discussed this. This is the list of the cards that Danny and I feel are pretty important to talk about.
Yeah.
But also not just going to be garbage, because if we talked about every single card revealed, we'd probably be here for a while.
Yeah, I did one of those, and it took around 3.5 hours to go over every single card. So, yeah, it's a painful process.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun for some of it, but then towards the end, you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Am I done yet? Am I done?
Yep.
Can I tap out now?
Yeah, thumbs down on this card. Thumbs down on this card. Yeah, you just start rattling through those.
I feel like it's also more entertaining to just talk about the cards that are actually exciting to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially since this is one that we're doing on our own and stuff. It just feels like a better idea to me. Anyways, we're going to talk about Kingsbane and Cavern Shiny Finder next. Kingsbane is the 1-mana, 1/3 legendary rogue weapon. It says Deathrattle. Shuffle this into your deck. It keeps any enchantments. And that basically means if you deadly poison a Kingsbane and give it +2 attack, when it dies, it's going to get shuffled into your deck as a 1-mana 3/3 weapon.
Yeah, that the effect of Kingsbane being able in your deck, but also combined with Cavern Shiny Finder, so that is the rogue minion 2-mana 3/1 Battlecry, draw a weapon from your deck. So in rogue, you don't run weapons, so you're using this Cavern Shiny Finder to draw this weapon. So those two pieces together just make something that's absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So this card, I mean, this is going to be an archetype in and of its own, if it is an archetype. I'm not sure how good it's going to be, but I think it's going to be fun to at least try out. Just play a bunch of weapon buff cards and double Cavern Shiny Finder and just try to get an insane Kingsbane. And it costs 1 mana. Like, how good is that after you get a couple of enchantments on it? That seems so nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. And then, I mean, from my perspective as well, you have in Wild Tinker's Sharp Sword Oil, which created its own deck before Kingsbane was around, just based off of this one card, being able to buff a minion, and I believe it's 4 mana, give 3 attack to, I think it's your weapon first, and then +3 to a minion as a combo. So it's a crazy, crazy card in Wilds. This is so single-handedly going to bring back Oil Rogue for Wilds, and that's going to be a lot of fun, because that was a really cool deck that I used to play.
I mean, I could see, like, Tempo Weapon Rogue being a thing, because you can play cards like, I believe Naga Corsair probably still affects this card, right? So yeah. You get +1 attack.
And you have the Squid Face as well, the 4-mana, 4/4 Death Rattle, give +2 attack to your weapon from, what is that, Old Gods? That's still in Standard.
Yeah,
so that might slip into it as pirate. Well. Yeah.
And your shell is a pirate theme with all that stuff too, which is pretty cool. So I think that's going to be a fun deck to kind of see how that develops. And the idea of just getting an insane weapon throughout the game, it's like progression. So it's just cool to me. I like it. It's kind of like, it reminds me of quests. It's like your quest is to just get a big of a weapon as you can.
Yeah, it seems really cool. One niche application for the card, it's not going to typically come up ever, but when you have Kingsbane in your deck, you can never fatigue, because you play Kingsbane, you attack with the weapon, and then you hero power, and you send your Kingsbane back to your deck.
Oh, I didn't think of that. In my head, I was like, all right, but how do I kill the weapon? I'm going to fatigue for like 2 turns or something. And then I remembered I'm an idiot, and the rogue can just hero power to create a weapon.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to go and if you ever go up against something, like Milrogue is going to probably, never mind. Milrogue won't play this because you're typically a bunch of cards ahead of your opponent anyway. But in the situation where, like, the 1 out of 100 games that you go to fatigue, you now know this secret on how to keep yourself alive.
And it's not like you're drawing suboptimal cards too. You're literally drawing Kingsbane, that's most likely a giant weapon that has a bunch of different effects. You're attacking your opponent with it when you play it because it costs 1 mana, and then you're re-daggering.
Yeah.
And you're attacking with it every turn if it's your last card.
And, I mean, you compare Cavern Shiny Finder to Novice Engineer. 2 mana, Novice Engineer being a 2-mana 1/1, and this is a 2-mana 3/1. Like, not only do you have a specific card draw, which is more valuable in my opinion than direct card draw, but it's better statted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of the best cards that Rogue has gotten in this new set, and I'm really excited to kind of play around with that archetype, even in standard. There's just so many things. There's so many things you can do. Yeah. Like, I want to try messing around with playing one of the lifesteal cards to see if that is just something that you can do. Because, obviously, Rogue, sometimes you need some life gain, too. Like, you could play really cool things like that card, or maybe Poisonous. I don't know. There's just the Poisonous weapon enchantment card thing. Like, there's so many things. I'm really excited for that card.
I think Blade Flurry died for this card.
Blade Flurry died for this.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing before Blade we Flurry. Go on. Cavern Shiny Finder is a 2-mana minion, which means that if you're playing a Kingsbane deck, you're probably not going to be running Kel'Seth. So I like how Blizzard did that, so that if you want to play this really powerful card, you have to build your deck that so it doesn't have Kel'Seth.
Yeah, and you get to play Eviscerates again. Oh, baby.
And Sap. I'm
ready. And Sap. I've missed that card, man. Like, sometimes I'm thinking about the problems that Rogue has. I'm just like, why am I not playing Sap so I can just get him? And then one time on stream, I actually played Crazed Alchemist in Sap. And then I played my Kel'Seth on 2, and I was like, is my game broken? What's happening right now? And everybody in chat was just like, holy crap, this guy is actually just the dumbest person in the world.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, man, I'm such a genius. Why has nobody else thought of these tech cards, man? Oh, God, that was an embarrassing day. All right. Anyways, let's move on. The next cards that I want to talk about, and I'm clustering these because they're all based around the same theme. Like, the last one was the weapon, and this one is going to be Warrior and Armor. And this is going to be Woecleaver, the first card. This is the legendary Warrior weapon card. It costs 8 mana. It's a 3/3 weapon that says, after your hero attacks, recruit a minion. And recruiting a minion after your hero attacks, that seems really good. And it's a 3/3 weapon, so it's not even like they didn't make it like a one attack weapon or something. And you can just play big minions. I feel like this is going to be the dawn of just big warrior shenanigans.
Big warrior might be brought on because of this card.
It's 3 minions, man. That's, like, if you can attack, like, so say the turn you play it, you attack, you get an 8 drop. Okay, so you basically just tutored an 8 drop onto the board. That seems pretty good. But if you get, if it doesn't get dealt with to do it again every single turn, that's nuts.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. You do, the issue with that, though, is that you can't play any, like, small-cost minions, because you want to be pulling that turn 8, turn 9, big taunt-type minion. And so you can't really run something like Armorsmith or the one of the other warrior cards that we are going to talk about, the Drywhisker Armorer, the 2-mana 2/2 for a battle cry for each enemy minion gain plus 2 armor. So, did we talk about that last week, or... I don't remember if we did.
Yeah, we already talked about
that. We talked about that one.
We did with the Blade Flurry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
I think that you're probably going to be playing, like... What's that armor card that gives you 10 armor?
Oh, Bring It On.
Yeah, I feel like that card... Like, cards like that might be what you end up seeing in Big Warrior.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And that works well with the Unidentified Shield, too, because you gain the 5 armor plus whatever effect you get as well, and that's a pretty good card. It's similar. It's like a functional reprint to Shield Maiden, but if you were playing this deck in Wild, it's actually better than Shield Maiden, because you don't pull the 5/5 body, and you'll stick to some of the bigger stuff. However, in Wild, I don't really see this being a super big card. I still feel that, like, the N'Zoth Warrior is better because you have, like, Sludge Belcher and all that stuff, but I feel in Standard, this is definitely of, because you don't have that type of taunt there, I feel that this card is definitely going to help that archetype out a lot.
Yeah, I mean, even in Wild, like, if you attack and you pull a Sludge Belcher, that still seems really good.
Yeah, oh, it does.
Because you can attack again and again, but obviously you don't want to pull N'Zoth, so you can't play it.
Yeah.
But the next card it's something that you definitely, well, I guess, I think you do definitely want to pull this, is the GeoSculptor Yip. It is the new Warrior Legendary card. It's, I believe it's 8 mana.
I'm getting lost here. It's an 8 mana 4/8, and at the end of your turn, you summon a random minion with cost equal to your armor. And that goes up to 10 armor. So if you have 12 armor, you summon a 10 drop.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. For some reason, it was like right in front of me, but I just wasn't seeing it on the screen. Yeah, so this card combos really well with the weapon because it's an end-of-turn effect. So you can attack, get the GeoSculptor Yip, and then the end-of-turn effect happens afterwards. So this card is insane synergy with all the new stuff that they're printing. And obviously it has synergy with armor because that's how it gets activated. And it has synergy with the whole big theme that we got going on here in Warrior now, where you just want to get a lot of armor and just your effects want to be summoning giant dudes. So you don't want to be summoning cards like Armorsmith off of this. You want to be summoning cards that are just big.
Yeah.
Big dudes.
That's interesting. It adds a bit of a deck building puzzle to it where you're like, how do I cut these small minions that I normally run? Like Acolyte of Pain, right? How do I cut that from my warrior deck? So you run into these issues, but these challenges that you have to overcome in order to play these cards and make an optimal list. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see if cards like Acolyte of Pain still just get played anyways, because, I mean, honestly, getting Acolyte of Pain obviously sucks, but it's not that high of a percentage chance to get it, I would imagine. It's probably, like, 20% at most, and then if you do get it, getting a cycle isn't the worst thing in the world. Obviously, it's pretty bad if you paid 8 mana for a 4/8 that cycles, but I could see cards like Acolyte still being played just because they're so good, and the odds of you hitting them are low. It's kind of like Big Druid and Barnes, like when you hit the Barnes is... Or not Big Druid.
Big Priest, yeah.
Like when you hit the when you hit Barnes off Shadow Essence, it really sucks, but you're still going to play it because it's nuts.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
One of the other warrior cards that we haven't touched is the Bladed Gauntlet. The 2-mana 0/2 has attack equal to your armor, can't attack heroes. So I actually like this card a lot in Control Warrior, at least in Wild. This is going to be a relatively good Control Warrior card because essentially it's putting two more Shield Slams into your deck. And, I mean, because you have Justicar in Wild and your armor, your hero power turns into gain 4 armor, just being able to have a 4/2 in your deck instead for 2 mana is completely worth it. And then you can deal with larger enemy minions as well if you need to deal with that. And if you have enough armor to attack them, then, I mean, your health total shouldn't be too concerned about that.
Yeah, for sure. One other warrior card that I wanted to touch on is the Gem-Studded Golem card. And although this is a little bit vanilla, I think it's going to be very good. It's a 6-mana 5/9 with taunt that says that it can only attack if you have 5 or more armor. So this is, I mean, it seems like the taunt that Taunt Warriors always wanted, because you always really were missing out on that 6-drop slot. You were having to play... it's like the Triceratops card, the 5/5
Direhorn something.
Yeah, so like the best outcome for Direhorn is like getting a 5/8. This is a 5/9 that can attack almost 100% of the time in a armor-based warrior deck. So this could be played in that big warrior type archetype, because even if you pull it out, it's not the biggest minion, but it has taunt and it's still powerful enough.
Yeah, and
5/9, that's...
And even if you're running into a situation where you have less than 5 armor against something like aggro, you just have a taunt there. So, like, you're going to stall out your opponent until you can get 5 armor, because it's relatively easy to do that. So, I feel that it's good, even if it just read can't attack, it would be, you'd see some thoughts about playing it, but because it can attack in certain circumstances, it's a really good card.
Yeah, speaking of really good cards, we are going to change from Warrior to Priest and talk about Twilight Acolyte for a quick minute, because I think this card's nuts. This is another just insane Dragon Priest card that Priest is getting. It is a 3-mana 2/4 battle cry. If you are holding a dragon, swap this minion's attack with another minion's.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, think of Cabal Shadow Priest. Steal one of your opponent's minions that has 2 attack or less. On turn 9, you play Twilight Acolyte on their Tyrion and then just steal it.
You don't even have to, you don't even have to wait that long. You have Potion of Badness.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you get the attack of the minion that you steal. So this is no longer a 2/4. This is like a 6/4 or something for 3.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's absurd.
I think it's going to be nuts, dude. I mean, even if you're not doing it to do some weird stealing shenanigans or whatever, it makes every single minion Shadow Word painable, and it just allows you to trade easier.
Yeah, this gets around Priest's biggest fear of having a 4-attack minion on board, and you just can't deal with it. So now you just swap this with any 4-attack minion, right? You have Karin on board, or the second half of Karin. You swap this with that, and then you can pain a Karin out. Anything that would be sticky or something like that. You can definitely use this for your own utilities. And, I mean, if you're playing in, like, a mid-range style deck, because this is going into a... I think this goes into some sort of mid-range style Dragon Priest. You're definitely probably going to be playing Potion of Madness and Pain in that deck. And maybe even the 6-mana card as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this card, but I'm getting a little bit afraid of Dragon Priest. Like, I'm just like, oh boy. This deck's getting a lot of good cards, and it already had Operative. Operative's the best value card ever, basically. That card's insane.
Yeah, definitely. At least it's not Reno Priest, but there's definitely going to be a hybrid that comes up at some point. Reno Dragon Priest. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how many dragons you actually have to put in it.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to be the magic number? That's the question. But sometimes that question doesn't matter if your opponent's playing this next card that I want to talk about, which is Dragon Slayer. And also, in a similar vein, I also want to talk about the Darkness, because we mentioned the Reno Priest. But Dragon Slayer is a 3-mana card that says, Battle Cry, deal 6 damage to a dragon, 3-mana, 4/3. So average stats for something like that, with that kind of effect, but deal 6 damage to a dragon. Basically kills almost every one of the mid-range dragons.
I like how they did that. I was initially thinking, because it was either you or JR had mentioned last episode that they're going to print a dragon crab. So this is like a dragon crab that, I mean, because I was thinking that that's impossible, because you have, like, if someone plays a Deathwing or something, you don't want to have some type of minion be able to kill that. But this is a relatively creative way to get rid of the middle-sized dragons, because it kills all of them. All of the middle-sized dragons in Standard, and all but one in Wild. You have the Warrior one that can go to a 9/9, but all the other, like, late-game dragons, it doesn't kill completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really cool aspect. It doesn't just say, Battle Cry, kill a dragon. So, things like Maligos, if we ever see Maligos come back into the format for whatever reason, because of all these new, like, search tutor dragon effect stuffs, those aren't really going to be affected by this card too much because they have high health totals.
It does help out, though. Like, if you're playing against a big priest and someone pulls a Ysera, you can use this to at least chip down at its health total and make it somewhat reasonable. Whereas normally, like, dealing 6 damage to a 12 attack minion is still pretty serious.
Yeah, for sure, but it doesn't feel unfair to me. It's not just like, all right, kill your dragon, let's go.
Yeah, that's fair.
It doesn't feel like super unfair. It just feels like a very good tech card, but not broken like BGH at 3-mana.
Yeah. Are you concerned that they're printing this now, or did they do some internal testing? They're like, oh man, dragons are going to be crazy. We better print this.
I feel like this is an answer to them having Dragon Priest come back as an idea, and then they actually playtested the cards, and they were like, oh boy. All right, this is insane. We definitely need to print something that's going to help players deal with this, and I think this was their answer to that, because the reason why I say that is a lot of the new dragon cards that they're printing are going to make the mid-range dragon archetype very strong. Like, you're going to see Operative be one of the best cards, which, if it dealt 5 damage, I'd be very skeptical. But this deals 6 damage, and I think they did that for that exact reason, the fact that it kills Operative. So I think that is a major reason why this card was printed.
Yeah. And, I mean, even just looking over to Wilds, like, we have so many other mid-range dragon cards. You have Twilight Guardian, you have Blackwing Corruptor. Like, that deck is really good when you add these extra tools that have been added in over this expansion.
Yeah, even Twilight Guardian is 6 health as well, so pretty much all of the big mid-range dragons feel like they're 5 or 6 health.
Yeah.
And this that deals with all of them. So I like that it's not an answer to the big dragons directly, but it's a direct answer to the mid-range dragons.
And it deals with Scalebane, which is pretty big. That's a pretty relevant meta card right now for Standard.
True. I didn't even think about that, because I don't really use it with the dragon tag. Like, it's just a really good minion.
Yeah.
That, I guess it gets around Dragonfire Potion. That was one of the main reasons it gets played so much, but I don't really think about that part. I think of the 5/5 that buffs my other dudes by a lot.
So, I mean, even running this tech card now, you don't necessarily have to queue into a specific dragon deck. Anything that's trying to counter Priest with that Scalebane, you can now get this as a use this as a target on that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the other card that they printed that was sort of an answer to something was the Darkness. Now, the Darkness is a really cool card. It's a 4-mana 20/20.
Wow. They didn't have enough with 4-mana 7/7s. They had to push it to a 4-mana 20/20.
Yeah, but it starts dormant, which basically means it starts how Sharazan Corpseflower ends. So that whole, like, weird plant thing, it's probably like that.
Yeah.
But probably it'll look a little bit different. And the Darkness, it says shuffle 3 candles into the enemy deck, which says it's a 4-mana spell, Darkness Candle, shuffle out, or snuff out a candle, draw a card, cast this when drawn.
So it's similar to, like, Beneath the Grounds, that puts a bunch of Nerubians into your opponent's deck, but it's but the cards actually have cost, but they do get cast.
Right, and when all of the candles are snuffed out, then the Darkness awakens. The Darkness awakens.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yes, but the Darkness actually being a 4-mana 20/20 and that whole candle shenanigans, that's irrelevant to me. The reason why I like this card is the fact that it shuffles 3 candles into the enemy deck, which means they have copies of cards in their deck, which means cards like Raza
Kazakus.
And Kazakus are no longer going to be able to have an effect, and in Wild Reno as well. And that's what's exciting to me about this card.
What type of deck do you want to... See, you're not going to be putting this, obviously, in an aggro deck, because you're trying to beat Reno Priest before they kill you. This goes into, like, some sort of control deck if you play it, right?
Yeah, this goes into some type of control deck. Not aggro, obviously, but... It's not really about the fact that it goes... That it's going to get played or not. It's more the fact that it's cool to see them printing a card that's an option that you can play that can just completely shut down an archetype. So say the Priest deck just gets insane. Now in Conquest, you can play 3 of the Darkness in all of your decks and just try to shut out Priest or something like that. It gives you an answer if you want it. I don't think this card will actually see any play at all because of its cost. It costs 4 mana. I think that's probably a little bit too much for it to actually see play, but the fact that it's there as an option is what I like. And it can see play if it has to.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I also like how it starts dormant, just so you don't have the shenanigans of someone trying to sneak this out in Recruit Druid. Because being able to summon a 2020 just out of your deck is... that blows my mind. But it's good that it starts dormant.
Mm-hmm. Is that how it would be, though, if you...
So it is, the way right? that it would happen if you're playing one of the new Druid cards that pulls out a 4-attack minion, it just is dormant, and you don't shuffle the candles into the enemy deck. So it's worse than useless. It's actually a hindrance to you, because you never have that spot ever again on the board.
What if I pull it out of my hand with something like Dirty Rat? Pulls the darkness.
I don't know about that. I would guess that it's dormant as well, because the starch dormant isn't part of the battle cry. It's above the battle cry. So I think that that's just a persisting effect.
Okay, so if I get this dirty routed out of my hand, then I effectively just lose a spot on the board for the whole game.
Yeah.
That's how I'd imagine it. That makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, let's move on to the next card, and this is or next cards, the Hunter Legendary Weapon / the new Hunter spell by my side, and the Hunter Legendary Weapon is called Rock Delar, I think. I think that's how you pronounce it. Rock Delar! I think that's how Rexar would say it. Anyways, it's a 7-mana weapon, 4 attack, 2 durability, battle cry. If your deck has no minions, fill your hand with Hunter spells. And by my side is a spell that says if you have no minions in your deck, then summon 2 animal companions.
If you do, it only summons 1 animal companion.
Okay, yeah. Either way, they're pushing Spell Hunter of all things in the world. Spell Hunter. First it was discard lock. Yeah. Now it's Spell Hunter. What?
I think this is more of like a setup. Right? Where they're like, okay, what direction do we want to have Hunter go in the next couple of years? And to be fair, they printed like Lock and Load a while back, remember? And that never took off. And maybe they're continuing on with this. They're like, all right, that didn't work. We really want Spell Hunter to be a thing at some point. So then they just go and they slowly trickle cards in until you hit an equilibrium at some point where they're like, okay, we've put in so many good there's going to be like one legendary next expansion that makes it broken.
Mm-hmm.
But at this also, moment, I don't think that it's good, unfortunately.
It's just, like, this means, like, you can't even play Yogg in those kind of decks, too. It just makes me so sad. Like, you can't... I don't know. I don't understand it, but I guess I'll have to find out. It's just so weird. I can't fathom this. This is just... Ugh. I don't get it, Danny. I don't get it.
This is one of the cards that has future... Or this is what I like to call a future potential card. It's garbage now, but in, like, 3 expansions, it'll be good. Because of some other card that's good.
What if it's not even garbage, though? What if Spell Hunter's just a thing, man?
It's not going to be a thing.
I mean, I'm the cynical one. And I'm, like, low-key, like, slightly afraid. I don't know why. But the fact, like, oh, man, I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is that a lot of the times... they print cards that are spells that are technically minions, right? Like, something like we have the Flanking Strike card, 4 mana, deal 3 damage to a minion, summon a 3/3 wolf. That's the same thing as Fire Plume Phoenix, but it's in spell form. So it's the minion versus the spell. They do the same thing, but it's a spell. So spells that mm-hmm. summon minions... aren't necessarily like not minions, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. This is like reminding me of before Frozen Throne came out, but after the rotation happened, people at Blizzard thought that Kazakus Priest was really good. This is before Anduin came out. They thought that Kazakus Priest was really good in their internal playtesting group, and I was telling Dr. J was telling me like. When he got back from the Bahamas, like, Kazakus Priest is going to be nuts, man. You don't even know. Like, I know. I know it's going to be nuts. You don't even know. And I'm just like, no, dude, that deck sucks. And then we settled it. We did a good old best of five bet like we're going to do later on when this set comes out. And I destroyed him. He said, all right, fine. It sucks. You were right. And then they printed Anduin the next set. And I was like, whoa, that's like kind of scary. It's like their idea that they wanted to work didn't work, so they just printed a busted ass card and made it work.
Yeah, it seems like they do that when they want, when their game plan is to do that, they print some sort of busted card. I'm afraid for the future with this, with these things.
Yeah, like I just have a feeling that it's not gonna work out this set, and the next set we're just gonna see some insane cards.
Yeah,
for this kind of archetype, just to make it work so they don't feel like they wasted their what do you want to call it? Like their development space spots, sure, or whatever? I don't know. Just spots.
I don't know. To be fair, though, they didn't do that this expansion with Freeze Shaman, right? There were no Freeze Shaman cards that were introduced, which made me pretty happy. Because I thought they were going to do that with Shaman. As soon as you release two or three Freeze Shaman cards, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. We're going to get like five or six Freeze effects, and one of them is going to be broken. And because Freeze is one of the most aggravating effects in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're lucky we dodged that one.
The free shaman cards aren't even that bad. Like, Avalanche doesn't seem like it's that bad. It's just bad because control shaman's really bad. There's no place for it right now.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that's interesting. And before we see a bunch of free shaman cards next set.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Alright, so the last card that I want to talk about here with Yudani is Master Okart. This card is insane. Alright, let me read what it does right now. Alright, so it's a 9 mana 5/5 Battlecry, recruit a 1, a 2, and a 3 attack minion.
Oh man.
That's nuts. That's nuts, but, like, okay, at first, you're thinking a 1, a 2, and a 3 drop, because that's what my mind thought at first. And then it's, no, that's not what it says. It's 1, a 2, and a 3 attack minion. So this can get 9 drops, 8 drops. This, it's insane.
This expansion especially, they put out a lot of cards that are understated that have ridiculous effects for higher cost. So that is one of the themes that I was seeing before this card even came out. And it's really interesting, and it leads to some deck building choices that you have to make to see if you can, like, sneak some big minions in there and see what you can pull around that.
Yeah, so just to name a couple from this set, Dragon Hatcher, it's, I believe it's 9 mana 2/2 that summons a dragon from your deck, or recruits a dragon at the end of your turn.
Yeah, it recruits a dragon, 9 mana 2/4.
And then there's Silver Vanguard, which is a 7 mana 3/3 death rattle that summons an 8 drop when it dies.
Yeah, and that combos really well with this, just pulling that out of your deck.
Yep, and even if you're playing Warlock, you even have cards like Void Lord, which are just giant costed dudes that have he has three attacks. So if you're playing this in Control Warlock, I mean, you're already probably not, because they're playing so many other things, but if you were,
I don't know. I think you probably put this card in there. I compare this card really with Curator, to be honest, because it's something that you build your deck around, and you know how Curator draws the cards for 7 mana? Well, this plays those cards, so consider it drawing and playing the cards. So this on power level is probably around the same, if not better than that. Although the issue that you run into is similar to Curator, you have to build your deck around it. And this one's a little bit harder, because if you have like 1, 2, and 3 attack minions, typically like your initial thought was, are cheap minions. So a lot of this stuff in the expansion plays around, you don't want to play a lot of early minions, early like 1, 2, 3 drop minions. You want to play some of the bigger stuff.
Yeah, that's one common theme about this set, is that it's really going to test players' ability to build decks as a whole. And that's exciting for me. This is where deck builders are going to shine in the next format, I think.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And being able to adapt to other decks as well. just like with the with that tech card, the dragon tech card is pretty good. But you read, if you read your meta properly, that's one of the really good things to do.
Yeah, and speaking about the whole deck building conundrum that we're going to have in this next format, what decks are you excited to play? Because those are all the cards that we're going to talk about right now. And I, like, what are you excited to play? I'm excited to play so many things, but just give
there's like so much. One of the things that I'm actually pretty excited about is the Token Druid. Because that card, especially in Wild, that deck is one of the top tier decks, but it only gets better. We didn't mention this, but there's a new one mana beast for the neutral class, 1 mana, 1/3. It's called Dire Mole. And like this card, while it's a quote unquote vanilla card, it's one of the best one drops that they've printed for both Druid and Hunter. So in that vein, I'm really excited to play some aggro Druid. And like this opens up possibilities for faster versions of Hunter as well.
Yeah. I mean, even in Standard, that's a huge addition to aggro Druid in Standard. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to, is trying things like aggro Druid. I'm really, really looking forward to trying to figure out how to make that Demon Warlock deck, Demon Warlock deck work. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure it out. And then the second thing I want to figure out is Togwoggle Warrior, man.
I'm very excited to play that.
Even if Togwoggle doesn't work out, Control Warrior in general, I just really want to make that work. That just seems like so much fun for me. I used to be a Control Warrior main back in the day, and man, that was some of the best times I ever had playing Hearthstone, was OG Control Warrior. This is before Justicar.
Oh, man.
I'm talking before Shield Maiden.
Oh, crazy.
This is when you're playing, like, Alexstrasza in your deck. And
Alex Grom, like, attack your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, you really didn't even ever attack them. It always came down to fatigue, and that's what made a good Control Warrior player good, was knowing that you can't really draw cards a lot of the time. You just have to... It was like a tightrope the whole game. If you couldn't just burst them down. Like, sometimes you would play Alex on 9... and they wouldn't have the answer to it, and you just win. Or you have Grom in your hand with weapons, and you're just able to pressure them down. But most of the time, that didn't work out, and you would have to just go to fatigue. But if you drew cards with Acolyte on turn 3 or something, then you just end up dying a turn sooner. So I'm excited to see this new like Control Warrior build, whatever it's going to be. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that should be really exciting. I'm very excited for Mage in Wild. Wild especially for Mage, because we have the full Reno Mage package, and that's like a tier 2-ish deck, but with some of these cards that we're getting, you're going to have to rebuild the deck. That's one of the things that I like about Wild. You have a set deck that might be tier 2, tier 3, maybe even tier 4. Like, Reno Priest was tier 4. But then you come in, they add one or two really interesting cards, and then you can rebuild the deck and turn it into something that is completely broken. So...
Yeah, I mean, you have Adiesh, too, now, as well, for that Reno deck, if you wanted. I mean, that might be too much because you might start overdrawing, but there's just so many new cool options. And Mage was the third thing that I was going to mention that I'm looking forward to. Those are the top three things I'm going to try to be building once the new set drops. Mage is the third one, and I want to try something Elemental Mage. I feel like I'm going to try Elemental Mage, it's not going to work out, and then I'm going to try others, like just janky stuff. I don't even know, man. There's
Mage is
like the way I build decks, I don't know.
Yeah, the Mage weapon is very powerful. I think that this rebuilds Tempo Mage, right? So you put this in. The big issue that you run into in Tempo Mage is you run out of burn. You're coming down and you're pressuring your opponent, but they start to stabilize. Well, if you're able to go in and a Luneth at one turn, and then you just keep drawing your cards, you'll eventually get enough burn to kill them. So... to be honest, this is like one of my top 5 cards in the set, Aluneth, especially for Tempo Mage in Wild, because of the new new secret. The explosive runes just makes the secret package crazy.
Yeah, there's so many things, but I'm just excited, man. It comes out tomorrow. I think it's at 3 p.m. our time. Yeah. So as soon as that comes out, I'm gone, dude. You can peace out. Good luck trying to contact me. Yeah, right. If you want to talk to me tomorrow,
talk to you in game.
You're gonna have to be talking to me in game or on my Twitch chat. Cause you best believe, I'm just gonna be streaming all day. This is gonna be the first 8-hour stream I've done in like a year.
Oh yeah,
I swear, I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, I am very excited as well. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about, or do you want to wrap this up?
I'm good on cards. Just a quick note. I haven't mentioned this on the podcast, but I was the first player this season to hit number one legend in Wild on NA. So that's a pretty cool thing.
That's an amazing achievement.
Yeah, we did it. We did a rat race, and I got legend I think at 50 hours in. Obviously I slept and ate and did all that stuff. I didn't play for the full 50 hours, but I played a pretty good chunk of that.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
the real rat race, I would never be able to do that, man. These people are staying up like from when the server resets to when they get legend, and that can be 20 plus hours of just playing Hearthstone. There's no way I would be able to survive that.
Yeah, it's insane. It took a drain on me to do that, and I went to sleep during that period. I took naps. I like went to bed at the day end of day one, like, and that took a lot out of me.
Yeah, that's insane, man. But really, congratulations. I hope that you can just keep that rank one legend throughout the whole season.
Yeah, that's happened a couple times in Wild. And my MMR right now is ridiculous because I went on a literal 15-game win streak into legend. So, yeah, I farmed this one Big Priest player, and I just beat him with Reno Priest. Which, the matchup isn't even that favored towards Reno Priest, but I played pretty well.
I'd say it's unfavored.
Well, not in Wild because of Spawn of Shadows. But essentially, his deck wasn't the best. He wasn't running the best threats, and I just burned him out all the time. But for the last three games, he went and he roped me every single turn.
Oh, I hate that so much.
But it was the games went to fatigue two of those times. I legitimately had 2 half-hour matches.
Jeez. I'm going to try to do my best Danny Donuts roleplay tomorrow and just make a deck. I'm just going to nail it like I did after Grime Streets came out, where I just played Taunt Warrior. And I won until from rank 3 to like top 5 legend.
Wow.
I just like didn't lose.
That's crazy.
I just nailed Taunt Warrior. Like, it took me like 5 games and a little help from Twitch chat, but I was the first one to build Taunt Warrior in its current state. It pretty much has only changed a few cards since the first couple hours after I built the deck on the first day. So that was really cool to do. I really want to try to do that again, where I just nail an archetype before anybody else and just win.
Just take
just
it,
win
yeah.
everything. Just never lose.
I'm going to try to bring some Recruit Paladin into Standard, because I'm going to be sitting on Rank 1 Legend for a while in Wild. So I'm not going to have as much playroom, because I don't want to queue into anyone who's too low ranked. So I'm going to be playing a good amount of Standard at this point. So Recruit Paladin is something that low key might be okay. So
yeah, and just for the listeners who are getting excited about wanting to watch Danny or I, Danny, where can we find you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on my Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS and my Twitch, which I'm going to try to stream as much as I can, but I got some work that's going on, so might not be able to get to it immediately, but it's DannyDonuts45 on Twitch.
Nice. Luckily for me, Hearthstone is my work. Oh god,
that's so nice.
Somebody save me. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm gonna be streaming a lot this week, and you can find me on twitch.tv/RayC591 and on Twitter at PG_RayC. And yeah, I'm gonna be streaming pretty much throughout the weekend. I mean, come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I probably won't, because I have to go to Seat Store. I have to leave for Germany on Tuesday. So I'll pretty much be AFK for probably a little bit longer than a week, which is unfortunate, but I mean, I get to go to Seat Story Cup, so I can't complain. I'm excited for
that. Yeah, that sounds really exciting.
But yeah, I think that's going to be it for us. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
All right, and I think we should probably shout out the legends.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I have that up.
The supporters.
Yeah, so we'd like to give our shout-outs to our well-met legends, the real Ben and Karel. And you can, they are some of our legends, so they follow us on Patreon. Our Patreon account is www.patreon.com/wellmetpodcast.
Yeah, and I believe, I don't remember what the tier is, but you can get free coaching if you're a patron from anybody that's a host, so me, Danny, or JR. Probably not John, because, I mean, he's busy getting married.
Yeah.
But
it'd be interesting to see someone try to get coaching from John. I might do that. I might try to get some coaching from John. See how that goes.
It better not be in Hearthstone, that's all I'm saying.
I might do it for Overwatch.
Okay, that's reasonable. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Just pull it on John's leg.
All right. I think that's going to be it for us. Yeah, thank you guys for watching. Leave us some feedback. Let us know how we did. This was our first time ever doing it, just me and Danny. We've never done this before. We couldn't even figure out what recording device to use.
Yeah, hopefully we can put that together.
Yeah, maybe they won't even hear it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But let's hope so. All right.